got biscuits, kitchen notes at the Omni Nashville Hotel does, and Bill King loves them all.
Brett Ciancia with us. Pick Six previews every Wednesday morning early. Leon Searcy's Cigar here, Brett, on Twitter. That's the name, Leon Searcy Cigar. Ask Brett what he thinks about Miami under Mario. Can Mario recruit South Florida enough and keep those players at home, he asks you, Brett.
Hey, good morning, Bill, and that's a great question there. I'm really excited to see this, and I talked about this when the hire happened. You talk about one of the hardest working head coaches in the recruiting game. Usually the coordinators or recruiting coordinators or position coaches, but Mario is very hands-on as the head coach. So to see him now in a fertile recruiting ground, South Florida, and his alma mater, he's going to be motivated to lock down that local talent. And I think he'll get it done. I think that this will be a whole paradigm shift in the recruiting game because once Miami lost the grip of South Florida about 10, 15 years ago, it opened up like open season for the SEC to come in and Georgia, Bama, Auburn, LSU, everyone in that area, in that footprint, even Clemson to a degree recently. So now if you have a program locking down that talent, keeping out those SEC programs, I think it shifts things. And it's kind of the same thing going on out in L.A. right now with Lincoln Riley, the same paradigm shift that could happen within the Pac-12 and West Coast recruiting. So those two guys are fascinating hires on the field, but really in the recruiting game too.
Brett Ciancia, Pick Six previews. Any questions, make sure and post them. Lake Norman Buckeye over in North Carolina. Ask Brett if the 2022 National Championship is just a foregone conclusion. Alabama returns a ton, plus dominating the transfer portal. I don't see a scenario, he says, where Alabama doesn't win it.
Well, it's college football, my friend, and it's always wide open. I mean, you could have said that this year. You know, you always have prohibitive favorites coming in. Think back to August. I think all the Vegas chalk was all over Clemson. The far and away odds to win the ACC. I think their over-under for wins was 11.5 out of 12. Clemson was a huge favorite. Oklahoma was preseason number one. Ohio State was easy chalk to make it again, and then Alabama. So with three out of four of those not even making their conference title games, let alone the playoff, and then Alabama to lose the national title anyway. So, this thing's wide open. Now, of course, Alabama on paper will always stack up as a favorite, the top recruiters the last 10, 15 years overall. And, you know, you look at Nick Saban, the guy has harnessed every new tool of this modern game, you know, whether it be modernizing his offense to keep up with the rest of the sport, the transfer portal, the recruiting game, the NIL packages you're seeing. So, yeah, he's dominated the sport. But, to say it's a foregone conclusion, that's you got to watch. We got to stay tuned with college football. It's upsets all over the place, and you'll see some new programs arise. So, probably favorites, but it's not a foregone conclusion.
If you just took Alabama since 2009 and every year preseason, whatever the odds are, you bet them to win a national championship, you'd be hitting, what, around 500 at least?
yeah, for sure. That's the crazy part. And when you look at Nick Saban specifically, every one of his recruiting classes since the year 2000 has won a national title. You look at the LSU recruits he signed in 2000, they won the national title there as juniors. And then all the way up through the 07 LSU players won, even though it was without him, he was in the pros, but all the way up, all those Alabama classes until just this recent 2021 class. I mean, heck, they've been on campus for 6 months, but that's the first class that hasn't won a national title. So over 4 year spans, you're going to hit one with Saban. It's just a matter of when. And I was down in Atlantic City, the casino and sports books here on the Jersey Shore, and Alabama's odds for next year is 2-1. And it might not sound crazy, but you know the other favorites and everything are 10-1, 20-1. So heavy, heavy money coming in on Alabama already. It's just, that's where we're at.
Question that came up to me, and maybe not an original question, but a relatively new question because of all the newness that we have in college football. Should the transfer portal rankings, and they have those now, And Southern Cal just jumped into the one slot I saw. Should they be mashed in with the recruiting rankings?
Yeah, I saw that 24/7 Sports was starting to do that. I think that's definitely helpful because it's almost a mini recruiting season within the overall recruiting calendar. It's kind of hard nowadays to judge solely on recruiting class for two reasons. One, because the sizes of these classes is more variable now. It used to be generally most programs would sign 20 to 25 players each year, and that was consistent. Now you have some years based off transfers or opt-outs. Opting pro early to the NFL. You'll have some classes sign 12 players or 10 guys, and it makes their recruiting class rank look way, way low while others are signing a full 25. I think it's important to look at that. You know, it's my 11th year doing my preview book coming up, and I've always just had the raw recruiting ranking in there as one of my graphics. I'm starting to consider maybe switching over to their full roster ranking, where you're looking at, you know, because you've had players come and go over those 5 years as recruits were signed 5 years ago, looking at now who's really in the building, who's on the roster now, whether it be transfers in the portal or all the recruiting classes, if they stayed or gone. So, yeah, that's a good move by 247 Sports, and I might be following suit over here in my book.
Pick Six Previews, Brett Cianci is with us, and I know this is the time of year that you're reviewing and then looking into the future as well. Anything jump out at you that maybe you didn't catch as you were so busy during the season?
Yeah, so the first couple weeks here after the season, I'm running my numbers. I'm looking at how teams really did relative to their opponents, because you can easily find scoring average, say they score 40 points a game. What does that do related to the opponents they played? You know, were the opponents giving up 40 a game and they played soft defenses, or do they do that against an excellent schedule? So one thing that stood out so far, Tennessee's offense really popped off the paper. As a great unit, I like Hendon Hooker next year as a roulette chip for the Heisman. You know, he's 60-1 odds right now, really not on the radar, but the way that offense shined in the first year, I think you're going to see even more efficiency gains. That's just one example. Nebraska's offense really stuck off the paper. Louisville's offense. You know, these are offenses that you didn't really consider on the national scale, but when you look at the numbers, it's telling me a different painting. Now, with two of those, with Nebraska and Louisville, turnovers crushed them. You know, this is more on a yards and yards per play kind of thing. They got to get it done in the red zone and turnover game too, but. As far as, line of scrimmage and yards per play efficiency, those two popped out. And then what else? Looking at defenses, Georgia, historic. I mean, you look back to the last 10 years, this Georgia defense was number two over the whole decade of the sport, over that span. So very impressive, not only in 2021, but over the last decade. So, some other great defenses that popped out, Clemson, Wisconsin, Oklahoma State, Texas A&M, Iowa, Alabama. So, I've been tweeting these out. If you're on Twitter, make sure to follow, because I'm going to be putting out all these kind of lists and everything as I break down the numbers.
Brett Cianci at Pick Six Previews. Of the brands that are historic but not playing up to their historic brand, like a Southern Cal, a Texas, a Miami, even though they're not as deep when it comes to history, but let's say 1983, their first national championship to about 01. Which one do you think has the best chance to rise up and reclaim their brand?
Well, you start with recruiting and location. I mean, that's the one thing about a program you can't change is the location. So we already hit on it earlier in the segment, but USC and Miami are just placed in such recruiting grounds. That would be more of a natural comeback. I don't know if these are specifically the head coaches to do it, but just intrinsically, they have that value. Texas is right there, too, obviously, and Texas high school football will never go away. That's one of the staples of the sport, really. So those three names right there, it is a tougher uphill climb for Nebraska to reclaim that national title and conference title glory because of where they're located. You know, it's hard to pull recruits out of South Florida all the way to the Midwest. Now, they should take a page out of Oklahoma's book. I mean, Oklahoma's been very effective in the recruiting game, even though that they're located similarly in the Midwest. The key to it is they still attack Texas. You know, when Nebraska left the Big 12, they lost their recruiting in-grounds in the state of Texas, and that's hurt them because, you know, we've seen the product on the field collapse too. So, yeah, those are some of the quote-unquote blue bloods there. Programs like Notre Dame, Oklahoma, they're right there. They're knocking on the door on the playoff most years. It's a matter of, like Georgia, when they will finally break through. Georgia got it done. Who else we got? I mean, LSU, they're right there. They won a national title 2 years ago. And Florida State and Florida, I think they're in great spots, too, to bounce back into the conference title and national title race, again, given their location. They're eventually going to hit on a higher, you know what I mean? It's just a matter of time, but they have that recruiting underground – or, you know, what do you call it, background to get it done.
Brett Cianci of Pick Six previews every Wednesday with us. Brett, do you watch any basketball at all? Are you much of a college basketball guy?
So college basketball, I start to tune in March. I'm one of those guys, you know, it's not my primary sport, but I do like the conference title races. Those conference tournaments are exciting for those weekends. And then the, you know, March Madness bracket, everyone loves that. The first couple days there, the first 48 hours where you have all this, the round of 64 going, is incredible. So, but no, I'm more of a, you know, a March fan, if you will.
Yeah, me too. I might have it on from time to time. Now, what about the NFL, all the games this past weekend and the entertainment value? Again, I'm a college guy, as you are, but a lot of people are saying that's one of the best weekends of football they've seen.
Yeah, and, you know, I tuned in. I watch NFL playoffs, of course. I mean, just to see the best players that are in our sport going at it, and saw a lot of tweets about saying how this is the best football weekend ever, with having four games coming under the wire. And I say, hey, just tune in on any Saturday from September till December, and you're going to get four great endings like that, even more. But now, all jokes aside, that was an incredible playoff slate right there, seeing them all come down to the wire. You know, it's just incredible that the Bills-Chiefs finished with 13 seconds left to see them, you know, pull the rabbit out of the hat there as a magic trick and force overtime. And I don't know, it's just, you go up and down all four games. It was exciting. And, you know, that was a great moment for the NFL, I think.
Tell everybody, Brett, how they can get your content.
Yeah, thanks. It's at Pick Six Previews on Twitter, picksixpreviews.com. It's an annual season preview book coming out every July, all 65 Power Five teams. Right now in the off season, I'm getting into the numbers, reviewing game tape, calling coordinators, calling head coaches, and getting working on my 2022 book.
Good to hear from you, sir. We'll see you next week.
Thanks, Bill. Appreciate it.